Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, the 20th of July, a Tuesday night edition of the show. Special report tonight, Cuba on the brink. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig, and I can't believe it's July 25th already.
20th.
I predict in about another 2 weeks we'll start seeing Christmas decorations in the stores.
Oh, God. By the way, it's July 20th, not 25th.
No, I said by July 25th.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you said you couldn't believe it was July 25th already. I'm thinking.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, we know what you mean. We know what you
yes.
mean. Very special day today, an anniversary, 52 years in the making.
It sure is. Man on the Moon, Neil Armstrong and crew. And it is something that when you see the old footage of it, very different than the footage today, but it's still something to marvel at.
Well, it really is, because when you think of the timing of it, I mean, it's 1969, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'd only been in space for 8 years at that point.
True.
Our first manned space flight was 1961, you know, and that was Alan Shepard. And, you know, 8 years later, we're on the moon. We won the space race.
Amazing. Now we have to keep that lead, you know, what with China on Mars with their little rover, Russians starting their own space station, and we're falling behind thanks to Biden and crew.
You know, most people don't realize this, but it's interesting that you bring up that little Chinese rover on Mars. As I understand it, that thing is now building an island in a dry lake bed. I have
probably.
No idea. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way.
But you know what? You know what you can't forget, and our listeners can't forget, is he who controls space controls the Earth.
That's
so you
very
need
true.
To think about that, folks.
Yep. That's a very true statement. Well, folks, look, we've got a major show here tonight. The situation in Cuba. Diane and I are both going to be talking about Cuba in our respective segments. Diane has Cuba's fight for freedom, and I have 90 miles from freedom. And so between the two of us, we're going to get you pretty well up to date on what's going on in Cuba. You're not going to hear this from the mainstream media. They don't want to talk about what's going on in Cuba.
No, they seem to have forgotten what's happened a mere 90 miles from our shores. And it's become, you know, like second-rate news delegated to, you know, local independent stations. But the people are still protesting there. They still want the communist regime out. And hopefully they won't give up the fight. We need to help. But with the Biden administration, when, you know, the Cuban people are not going to get any help from them.
That's exactly right. And that's what both of us are going to be talking about in the two upcoming segments of tonight's Right Side Patriots.
Right.
Again, it's a special report, Cuba on the Brink. So if you miss any part of this tonight, you really don't want to miss any part of it. But if you do, then you can go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, go to the podcast button on there. Oh, got a little pop-up there. This thing keeps reminding me that there's some update available on something that I don't even know what is. And
it's probably built into your machine. You just don't use it or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. But I keep telling it I don't want the updates, but it keeps giving them to me anyway. Anyway, go to the podcast button tomorrow on rspradio1.com. We'll have tonight's show loaded up as a podcast. Podbean yes. carries our podcast, and you can listen to the whole show right there. All right, so let's start with some quick hitters tonight. We begin with Tony Fauci and Rand Paul. Apparently, Diane, they got into it on the floor of the Senate today.
Yeah, and it has to do with the gain-of-function research that was going on at the Wuhan lab. And whether Fauci wants to admit it or not, our country was helping to found that through his organizations. Did Trump know about it? I don't know. But very bad for us. And he is still trying to deny it, but the proof is there.
Well, and Rand Paul has the proof, and Rand Paul called him out on it today because Fauci was testifying. Rand Paul called him out, and Fauci got a little heated and put up a vigorous denial of it and said, that's not true. And he practically called Rand Paul a liar, to which Rand Paul then responded that it was Fauci who was trying to dance around the truth, essentially calling Fauci the liar. And when you break down the evidence, Rand Paul is right.
Well, not only that, Fauci actually never said we were not doing the gain-of-function research. He never came out and said it. He danced around denying it, but never said the words, we were not doing gain of function research.
Right. He's trying his best to disassociate himself with it, but the email trail is pretty clear, and so is the money trail. The money for gain of function research was coming through Fauci's organizations and going to Wuhan, China.
And he had to approve those funds going over there. So he damn well knew about it. And I got news for you. Fauci's got blood on his hands.
He really does. Now, he's all up in arms because he literally fears being prosecuted for lying to Congress, because he said today in his attempt to condemn Rand Paul, he said, I have never lied to Congress. Well, sorry, Fauci, but BS, you did.
And there's a first time for anything. And, his message that he kept bloviating over and over, along with Walensky, his little cohort in all of this, they both said the message from the CDC remains clear. Vaccination is the most powerful tool we have. Really? Then how come vaccinated people are coming down with COVID and dying from it?
It doesn't. I mean, reality is not matching the propaganda.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
It's just not. And there's more and more evidence that's piling up that the vaccine simply isn't as advertised.
No, it is not. We do not know what's going to happen down the road. And folks, you need to understand something. Most vaccines like polio and flu and the DPT and the measles, the things, we normally get, they took years. I'm talking 10, 15, 20 years of vigorous testing before they were given to the public. This vaccine comes out within about a year, and people are lining up like lambs to the slaughter for it and still getting sick. You really need to think about that.
And think about this while you're at it. It's still listed, and rightly so, as experimental.
Yes, for emergency use only.
Look, for these people who are going and lining up, like you say, as sheep to the slaughter to get the jab, and they say, well, I've done all the research. My answer is no. You are the research.
Exactly. You are the guinea pigs. Yeah. No jab for me, folks.
It's just what it is. The runaway liberal Texas cowards have managed to do something that they would rather not have done, rather not be known for, but they can't run and hide from it now. They have become super spreaders.
Yes. And guess who's one of the victims of the spread, folks?
Oh, God.
Greg, I'll let you tell the people.
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, not only Nancy Pelosi, but pretty much anybody they really came into contact with. In fact, the Texas cowards, the ones that fled Texas, the lawmakers, so they wouldn't have to vote, you know, on a voter reform bill. They flew to D.C., and one of the first things they did after they got off the plane, you know, and on the plane, no masks, case of beer, big party, right? If anybody else in this country gets on any plane, chartered or not, they have to be masked, but not these idiots. So they fly to D.C. One of the first things they do is they had a meeting with Kamala Harris, and then a bunch of these Texas liberal morons started coming down with COVID, and they had to rush Kamala Harris to get her tested, because there she was buddying up in a room with them, shaking hands with them, doing all this stuff. Pelosi's come down with it.
What makes it worse, one of them got on the plane knowing that they probably had COVID or didn't feel well.
Yeah.
It doesn't just appear out of nowhere, folks.
What?
There has to be a ground zero on that plane.
Really?
Really? Remember, I believe in real science, not made-up Fauci science.
Yeah, which is the same as unicorn fart science.
Yes.
I mean, look, these liberals should have stayed where they were, should have stayed in Texas, should have sucked it up cupcake and voted. You know, they didn't have to vote in favor of the bill that was proposed to bring about election integrity in Texas. They could have voted against it, taken their stand there, but no. They ran off like a bunch of cowards to D.C. They're still in D.C. today, and they're being threatened with arrest when they get back to Texas, rightly so. One of those idiots today came out and said, getting arrested when they go back, she's ready to be arrested, but it's like being a runaway slave. She equated it to slavery.
Oh, dear. Well, look, if you can't equate something to COVID, when COVID is the factor here, you always bring in the race and slavery card.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't bring in climate change, too. I mean, why not?
Hold your breath. That might be coming.
Yeah, it's the trifecta. COVID, climate change, and racism. It's the liberal trifecta. So Pelosi apparently has, what, she's tested positive. Is that right?
I don't know if it was her or one of her people, you know, one of her aides. I'm getting different reports. One report says it's an aide, and then another report, both reports from Fox, the other report says it was her. So I don't know which one is actually correct at this point. I will find out, but at this point, I don't know.
We will find out. I mean, yes. But, you know, this is the last thing these Texas cowards wanted is to become Typhoid Marys.
I know, but you gotta love it.
Oh, you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh.
Yes.
Now, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, she is refusing, absolutely refusing, to say whether or not she will allow Jim Jordan to be part of the January 6th commission.
Well, there's a reason for that. If you remember during the impeachment hearings of Trump, Jim Jordan made mincemeat out of the Democrats.
Well, and you know he's primed and ready to go. He's locked and loaded for this January 6th thing. Mark Meadows apparently appointed him or put him into consideration for this. It all has to be okayed by the Speaker of the House, COVID Nancy. And
actually, it was Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin McCarthy. That's right. And, you know, Nancy is like, oh, my God, what are we going to do if he's on there? And how can we possibly keep him off? She won't say whether or not she's going to allow him to be on there. Believe me, it will be just as bad for the liberals in Congress if she prevents him from being on there than it would be if she allowed him to be on there.
Well, first of all, there should be no July 6th hearings. We shouldn't waste our time, our taxpayer dollars, or anything on this nonsense. But you've got to laugh at, you know, who Pelosi's picks are.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Adam Schiff for brains.
Oh, my God.
Jamie Rankin. Who, you know, led the impeachment hearings against Trump. You have Liz Cheney. Pelosi picked Cheney. Why doesn't she just put the D after her name and be done with it?
I got to tell you, I think Cheney's finished in Wyoming. I really do.
Oh, I don't think they'll elect her again. I don't think she's done.
So. I think she's had it.
Yes.
You know, I'm hearing from people in Wyoming because they're kind of next door to us to the left. They're sick and tired of her.
Away, but yeah.
Well, okay. Well, you know, Wyoming and Nebraska share part of a border.
Nebraska borders on Wyoming?
Yes, on the left side.
Oh, that little skinny panhandle piece, yeah.
Our panhandle's pretty thick. It's a couple hundred miles. But okay. Yeah, the panhandle in Nebraska borders up against Wyoming. And so I'm hearing from our neighbors to the west that they're sick of her. And they will absolutely do not want her reelected, period.
No, that's true. But, you know, the whole thing about this investigation, it's just another phony investigation because they've already decided what happened. Now they just have to manufacture evidence to go along with what they decided.
Exactly. You know, it makes me laugh when you say that, but it's true.
It is true.
The problem is they can manufacture whatever they want. God knows they've done it before. But mm-hmm. It's not going to stand up to the scrutiny of reality, and that's why Pelosi is scared crapless of putting Jim Jordan on that committee.
And if she doesn't put Jim Jordan on, she's finished.
Well, I mean, that's why I say it's going to be just as bad for her and for the Democrats if they keep him off the committee as if they put him on, because Jim Jordan will not be silenced. He will not be silenced. Whether he's on that committee or not, he's going to let loose.
Right. And the others on the committee, they're Trump allies. We have Jim Banks of Indiana, Rodney Davis of Illinois, Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota, and Troy Neals of Texas. So that's a powerhouse right there going against Schiff for brains.
My dog's butt would be a powerhouse going against Schiff for brains.
My cat's meows would.
I mean, you know, Adam Schiff, folks, he's going to blame it all on the Russians.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure the Russians will be involved in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Pretty funny. But, well, we'll see how that plays out because the time is ticking on making yes. those appointments. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. We'll probably have more to tell you about that come Friday, Friday's show.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, so we'll keep a sharp eye on it for you. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, you know, we started the show by mentioning and talking a couple of minutes about the 52nd anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing and first steps on the moon. Well, today on that 52nd anniversary, Jeff Bezos made it to the edge of space.
Yes, he did.
The richest man on earth, the owner of Amazon and Amazon.com. Now, this was a totally 100% tourist flight. It may as well have been a carnival ride. There were no pilots on board, no pilots needed.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely none needed. They were just passengers. Yeah. That's all they were passengers.
Now, there was Jeff Bezos, his younger brother, Mark Bezos, Wally Funk, an 82-year-old woman, Wally Funk. Okay, she is a female aviation pioneer. She became the oldest person ever to reach the edge of space, and a 17-year-old kid from Denmark, or 18-year-old kid from Denmark, who became the youngest person ever to reach the edge of space.
Right. Well, actually, the 82-year-old lady, she was a Mercury 3 aerospace pioneer.
Yeah.
So yeah. She's been, you know, this has been a dream of hers for decades to reach space. And while she didn't go into space proper, she went right up to the edge of space.
I mean, Diane and I, we watched it this morning. We watched the liftoff and landing. It took all of 11 or 12 minutes from beginning to end, suborbital right. flight. Look. There's a lot of people, that are kind of disparaging of this. And it's interesting to me because, this is the next level of spaceflight. This is pure tourism for space.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this. Rich people, okay, they can afford this. They can... add it to their, oh, gee, I have the money, let me do this type of situation. I'm all for 100% space exploration. It's in our genes. It's who we are to explore. We need questions answered, and the only way to do it is by going into space. Are we alone? Can we live on other planets, etc.? This is kind of space fluff.
Yeah.
And while they have every right to do it and spend their money as they see fit, what if they took that money and helped us get to Mars faster, helped us build the colonies on the moon faster, instead of, going up for a few minutes and coming back down?
Space is a big place, and I think there's room for every kind of enterprise in space.
I do too, as long as the two don't step on each other's toes.
Well, and they don't seem to be, but I got to tell you what Jeff Bezos said after they landed, and this rankled up a bunch of people. He said, and okay. I quote, "I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer because you guys paid for all of this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much. It's very appreciated." Now, it's one thing to thank the customers of Amazon whose purchases over all these years have made him the richest man on earth so that he could indulge in his self-aggrandizing hobby of building toy rockets and going into space. It's another thing altogether to some people for him to thank the employees of Amazon who made this possible and helped pay for it. But here's where I come down on this. This is capitalism, baby. You come up with a better idea, you build a business, you hire a bunch of people, if you get rich doing it, that's capitalism.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine. But I'm kind of agreeing with former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
This is priceless.
Who actually said, "The only problem I have with Bezos Blue Origin space rocket ship into outer space is that it's going to come back. Bezos, please stay up there. Do the world a favor." Jeff Bezos, from what I understand, is a nasty man. He does not treat his employees well. And he loves being king of his own little kingdom. Could I be wrong? Yes. But this is what I'm hearing from people that actually work at Amazon.
Well, and I mean, Diane, your assessment, what you've heard, kind of falls right in line with, you know, I want to thank all the employees who paid for this. I mean,
yeah, that's an insult to the employees. That's really an insult.
It really kind of is, you know. But Tulsi Gabbard, you got to hand it to her. She tweeted that out. He should have just stayed there and done the world a favor.
Shut up. You know what? If he really wanted to thank the employees, instead of the 18-year-old kid, he should have taken one of his employees with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the 18-year-old kid from Holland, Oliver Damon, I'm sure he had a hell of a time. I'm sure it was the coolest thing anybody in his school did all summer, you know. But, you know, look, you've got thousands upon thousands upon 10,000s of employees that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all they didn't even get a T-shirt. They just got, hey, thanks for paying for it. You know,
well, he's a very selfish man from what I gather. But again, I was more impressed with Bramson going up.
I was too. And you'll notice that Elon Musk bought a ticket to go on a ride in Branson's. You know, Virgin Galactic, but he hasn't bought a ticket to go up Jeff Bezos's.
From what I hear, the two are not exactly fond of each other.
That's the rumor. Yeah, that's the rumor out there. But look, regardless of where you fall on this thing,
They did it.
And congratulations to Jeff Bezos and his crew of space tourists for reaching the edge of space in a rocket-powered dildo. I mean,
yeah. That is the ugliest, worst designed ship. Doesn't he, you know, he's got enough money to hire better aerospace engineers than that thing.
Well, I mean, you know, it looks like what it looks like. You know, I can't help you there. It just looks like what it looks like. Now, I put up a meme to that effect this morning,
yes.
and I did get a couple of comments on people. A couple of people messaged me. I think one actually left a comment on there. That's exactly what I thought it looked like, too.
It does. To me, it kind of symbolizes, I don't know why, but to me personally, screw you, America.
It does.
It really doesn't. I don't know, you know, how he feels about politics, except that he's a Democrat, so I can kind of guess.
Yeah, you take a shot in the dark.
Yeah, but there's just something, it didn't impress me like Branson's did.
No, me either. And, you know, as we wrap up this segment and get ready to get into our special report, Cuba on the Brink, I'll just say this. Given the shape of Jeff Bezos' rocket, he should really consider renaming the company from Blue Origin to Blue Orgasm. Just a thought.
Maybe.
just a thought.
Just a thought.
You know, take it for what it's worth. All right, folks, so that gets us to the bottom of this segment and this hour, and we're going to take a quick break here, get a couple of those station IDs in. When we come back, it's Cuba on the Brink. We'll start with Diane and Cuba's fight for freedom. We'll follow that up in the final segment of the show tonight with my take on it, 90 miles from freedom. So stay with us. Plenty more on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Special report tonight, Cuba on the brink. If you've missed any part of the show or you can't stick around for the rest of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button. Podbean hosts our podcast, and you'll find us right there. All right, Diane, so this situation in Cuba is not going away in the way liberals, especially those in the mainstream media, would like it to. Even though they're refusing to talk about it, we're not. And you've put together a great op-ed, Cuba's Fight for Freedom.
Right, and let's start with this quote. It's, "Are you going to report on this so the world can hear their voices?" That was said by Florida Senator Marco Rubio when this first broke. Now, Cuba, a mere 90 miles from the U.S., yet for all practical purposes, it's a world away. A world where freedom is non-existent and where communism reigns supreme. Cuba, a nation where unauthorized public gatherings are illegal and where actual physical protests are rare and far between. And yet the Cuban people could only be pushed so far, as witnessed by the massive protests that recently did and still are taking place, not just in Havana, but in small towns throughout the island nation. Protests to demand an end to the country's communist dictatorship, its socialist-based failed economy, and its 60-plus years of repressive iron fist rule. And within the protesters' call for Libertad, Basta, y Unir, as in freedom, enough, and unite, one can hear voices demanding that Cuba's President Miguel Díaz-Canel step down. And as Cuban-Americans here in South Florida, Cuban-Americans whom Díaz-Canel claims are egging the protesters on, having not only blanketed the streets of Miami's Little Havana in a show of support and solidarity for their brothers and sisters protesting in Cuba, their sheer numbers alone actually shut down a stretch of South Florida's Palmetto Expressway last Tuesday. And with said solidarity and support for the Cuban people now spreading throughout Florida and across the U.S., it should not come as any surprise that the Cuban regime shut down internet, media, and phone access, both into and out of Cuba, with limited access restored 3 days after the protests began. And really, why wouldn't they shut it all down, especially with images on social media sites showing what appears to be Cuban police and special security forces detaining, beating, and pepper spraying some of the peaceful protesters. In fact, a number of those detained, a number as high as 100 plus, have now been reported missing. Not good, folks. Not good at all. And while President Miguel Díaz-Canel, actually a Fidel Castro-like dictator, refers to those who are protesting as mercenaries in hopes of turning public opinion against them, word is still getting out that the Cuban people are tired, hungry, and outright disgusted at being forced to live without the basic necessities that we, in this country and elsewhere, take for granted. And with said people already wallowing in the midst of their country's worst economic crisis in decades, food prices continue to soar, while food shortages and power outages are becoming more and more commonplace across the whole of Cuba. So now, as new voices continue to be added to the cry for freedom and the return of civil liberties, what should be truth in reporting is proving to be anything but. How so? Because one of the many narratives being pushed by the Cuban regime, as well as by the mainstream media as the reason for the anti-government protests, is simply that said protests are being driven by the Cuban people's now growing awareness of COVID-19. And as to be expected, it was just a matter of time before COVID would be blamed somehow. COVID, coupled with a medicine and vaccine shortage, plus a surge in new cases, never mind the government's dismal mishandling of the COVID crisis itself. And Craig, another narrative, of course, places blame on the still in effect U.S. sanctions on Cuba, sanctions which, according to Díaz-Canel, have directly led to what he calls a policy of economic suffocation.
Well, you know, like you say, Díaz-Canel is really a dictator. He goes by the title of president, but in reality, that's not the case. He's a dictator. It comes as no surprise that our mainstream media is right in line with his propaganda. But given all of that, okay, what are the Cuban authorities up to? What do we know? Because, you know, it's hard to get information, but what do we know about what the Cuban authorities are doing on the streets?
Well, basically, we have to start by saying reality dictates that the Cuban people's struggle for freedom, along with the still ongoing humanitarian crisis that has been Cuba's hallmark for generations, is now reaching a boiling point, as witnessed by the countering show of force the Cuban police have initiated upon Díaz-Canel's orders. And this includes the police not only being out in visible force on the country's streets, but seeing said police being equipped with special forces jeeps that have machine guns mounted on back, seeing the police using pepper spray and arresting dozens of protesters as more and more folks took to the streets, and seeing the police, whose orders were to use extreme force if need be against their fellow countrymen, actually doing so against those who, for the most part, were peacefully and rightfully demonstrating in the streets. But here it must be understood that while it's unfortunate, the use of extreme force is indeed standard operating procedure in communist and socialist ruled countries like Cuba. Countries where the masses are brainwashed into believing that an insulated and well-protected leader, a leader actually forced upon the people, is the best judge of what the masses want, need, and require, with party-loyal bureaucrats somewhat, but not totally exempt from what is now hardline totalitarian rule. And with said government making all the decisions as to what will or will not constitute the economic makeup of its citizens' lives, individual choice and the right to free will becomes non-existent as equality for the so-called greater good becomes the rule of law and anything but order. Personal ambition is not allowed, nor is motivation to better oneself given, which in time naturally tends to lead to a country's economic suffocation. And so, Craig, the economic crisis now engulfing Cuba is indeed a form of economic suffocation.
Well, it is, but there are parties that need to be blamed for this and parties that should be held blameless for that economic, quote-unquote, economic suffocation. You know, the government of Cuba, like all dictatorships, like all socialist regimes or communist regimes, has a blind spot right in the center of the mirror, don't they?
Right. Well, basically, you know, like with all economic crisis, Cuba's leaders do not blame themselves or their repressive and mismanaged government policies for their economic woes, but instead place blame directly on the aforementioned U.S. sanctions and on a pandemic that has caused Cuba's tourist industry to basically shut down. And for a country dependent on tourist revenues as the means by which to purchase the majority of its foodstuffs, its fuel, as well as other key imports critical to meet both agricultural and manufacturing needs, this is especially hard. And while Prime Minister Manuel Marrero Cruz recently announced that travelers coming into Cuba will be able to bring in food, medicine, and other essentials without having to pay import duties, no, this is a joke at best. For not only is travel into Cuba almost non-existent right now, but his much-heralded announcement is only a temporary measure. A temporary measure deemed too little, too late by the protesters and government critics alike. So, when economic suffocation does take hold of a country, as it has in Cuba, it not only affects the populace, but how the country's government actually runs. Remember, without much needed ambition and motivation by which to sustain what is a socialist economy, reality again steps in to dictate that what was once hoped for economic equality for all becomes but economic equality at the bottom rung of the socioeconomic ladder. And it's this continued dwelling at the bottom rung which has now led the Cuban people to say enough is enough after six long decades of seeing their once great nation, a nation formerly known as the Jewel of the Caribbean and the Land of Romance, being run not only with an iron fist, but with it deliberately being run into the ground. Guess who, Craig? By a corrupt group of government bandits who, while the people suffer, continue to live high off the proverbial hog.
I'm not sure government bandits is anywhere near strong enough. I know where you're going, you know, with that. And you're right. You're 100% right. But these are thieves, thugs, and despots, you know.
They are, but bandits, you know, is kind of, you know, bandito. Yeah. It's right. It's more of a word that would be used there.
Right. I like I said, I know where you're going with that. But I'll tell you, somebody in this country who has never been shy about speaking out, and especially regarding the Cuba regime, is Marco Rubio. What does he have to say about this situation?
Well, he actually said Cuba will see horrific bloodbath if Biden does not take action. Now, those were his truthful and foreboding words to Joe Biden, regarding pressuring the Cuban regime to stop retaliating against the protesters. And no, folks, they haven't stopped yet. And so now here in the U.S., the game of politics begins. The very same game of politics that saw Obama turning his back on the protesters who try to break free from the mullah's rule in Iran. And like with Obama, Biden and his administration love to tout the use of diplomacy as the be-all, end-all to any international problem that might arise. And with the UN obviously being no friend of the U.S., and with the current Cuban situation falling under the auspices of said UN, know that Biden's form of complacent diplomacy at best will in no way be strong enough to address the Cuban people's woes, let alone be strong enough to pressure or at least shame the international community into condemning and isolating a communist regime that resides a mere 90 miles from our Florida shores. But then again, what do you expect from a president who would be contradicting his own party's agenda if he were to take real action in support of the Cuban protesters. A president whose very own State Department continues to claim that the, quote, right to peaceful assembly is being observed in Cuba, no matter that even they know that the people in Cuba actually have no rights, and that both eyewitness accounts and media footage clearly show police, many dressed in plain clothes, beating some of the protesters. And know that they dare not even mention, it's bad PR after all, the now ever-growing list of missing persons, as in those who were arrested for peacefully assembling, now suddenly disappearing. And to make matters even worse, fearful of a mass exodus from Cuba, Biden's Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas warned Cubans that the U.S. Coast Guard has deployed officials to monitor the Florida Straits and that they would interdict migrants attempting to flee the island and reach the U.S. irregularly. Nice words they are not, but words not unexpected, for they come from a man whose president and party allows illegals to freely enter our country via our southern border. But the truth is that Cubans, for the most part, vote for Republicans and not for Democrats, and that even in a crisis for Democrats, it's all about how many votes they can garner, said crisis be damned. So while most Republicans are standing strong with the Cuban people, people daring to protest against both socialism and a communist regime, Democrats, the very folks who watched our cities burn for more than a year without saying a word, give but cursory lip service to the Cubans' quest for freedom. And really, why would Democrats praise the very people who want to rid themselves of exactly what they want to implement here? And while I was writing this, we don't know what the final outcome for Cuba or its people will be. We still don't know if the protests will continue on. We don't know if the regime will forcibly put an end to dissent and how many will be killed in the process of their doing so. We don't know what the regime will do to the people, for some form of punishment will surely follow. And we most certainly don't know how or even if Cuban Americans will be able to add those trying to break free of a regime that views freedom as of the antithesis of its and the Democrats' Marxist agenda. A lot of questions that need to be answered, with time alone providing those answers. And so with that said, I wish the Cuban people much success in their endeavor, for their fight for freedom is truly just. And to Biden and crew who relish in spewing pretty words without substance, I hope what is now happening in Cuba takes root here in our country as well. For while our fight might be different in origin, the fight for freedom from tyranny and unjust rule always remains the same.
Folks, this is a great article full of great information, and like I said before, this is stuff you're not going to get in the mainstream media because they refuse to talk about what's happening in Cuba. They're in league with the communist government of Cuba. They see eye to eye with that communist regime. So they're not going to say anything truthful about what's going on in Cuba. You know, that's why this particular op-ed is so important. And you can get this op-ed in two places. You can either go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, that's Diane's blog, and pick up the link and share it from there. Or you can go to rspradio1.com, pick up the link and share it from there, because it's on the homepage there. Now, Diane, I want to mention, too, that at the bottom of this op-ed, you have included a footnote with a whole separate link. And folks, if you haven't read this, and this goes back some time ago when Diane actually penned this, But it's called A Personal Glimpse into Castro's Hell. And that's a link that to a different op-ed that Diane had written. And Diane, what's that about?
Well, that has to do with, well, as everybody knows me, I'm Diane Sorey. I'm an American. I'm not of Cuban descent or anything like that. But I married a Cuban. And my actual name would be Diane Sori hyphen Marin. Now, most Cubans know the name Marin in Cuba. They know the name Humberto Marin. And who he was Castro's Minister of Agriculture, who turned on Castro and became a basically agent for JFK and the Bay of Pigs invasion. He was found out by Castro. He was executed in front of his family. And at that point, my husband was a little boy. And they had to get out of Cuba as fast as they could because Castro was going to kill the whole family. In this article, I tell all about that. When my father-in-law, he was smuggled out through, I believe, the Mexican embassy. They made it to Chicago. My mother-in-law and my husband and his sister came on one of the Peter Pan flights, and kind of to make up for screwing up, you know, the Bay of Pigs and costing Humberto his life, they were granted citizenship very fast, including my husband as a child. It's an interesting take. It's not what you're going to find in the Cuban history books, but you'll find it in the American history books about the Bay of Pigs. But his family, my husband's family, was an integral part of it. And too bad JFK turned his back on them at the end, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you detail all of that in that article that you have linked as a footnote to this op-ed. And again, that was called A Personal Glimpse into Castro's Hell. And if you want a real history lesson from the inside as to what Cuba and Castro and that whole thing was all about, that's the article you need to read, which makes it even more important that you go to rspradio1.com and get the link, or thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. And get the link to this.
And there's one other thing that I really want people to understand about this. Joe Biden, and you notice whenever I write about him, I will not call him president. It's either the Biden regime or Biden. He has made it perfectly clear that Cubans are not welcome here. Those trying to escape from the island are not welcome. The Coast Guard will not rescue them. We do not want them here. But this man lets illegals, all pieces of garbage from every corner of the world, into this country. People who want to bleed our country dry. When the Cubans come here, they're hard workers. They made Miami what Miami is. They revitalized Florida. Florida was kind of backwards until the first immigrants came here in the early 60s, the doctors, the professionals, the lawyers, the professional people who got out of Cuba, who knew what was happening. He doesn't want them here because they vote Republican.
About 65% of all Cuban immigrants vote Republican.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, actually. And it's not anything Biden wants. Let's face it. Let's just face the facts here. Florida was Florida. Miami was Miami. It was Miami Beach. It was just kind of there, right? Until the first Cuban immigrants came, and they really, honestly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, they gave Miami flavor.
Yes, absolutely. Little Havana, the entire, basically, South Florida, not Broward or Palm Beach counties, right. No, but Miami County took on a whole different flavor, and it's fun. Remember, Miami is not Miami Beach. They're two totally separate cities.
Right.
But they brought a lot of culture and good things with them.
Music. Food,
Culture,
clothing, color, you know, the
and
color.
And they don't have their hands out. None of them ever had their hands out.
Yeah,
folks, they did for themselves.
If you go to Miami, one of the things you'll notice is there's a lot of color there, a lot of bright, rich colors visually. And that also comes from Cuba.
Yes.
You know, that's part of that flavor that we're talking about.
The architecture as well. A lot of Spanish architecture. Coral Gables is known for that.
Right.
I mean, they have contributed so much to Florida. And just because they don't want in this country what they left, Biden doesn't want him here because he wants to implement what they escaped from.
There's no getting around that.
There really isn't. That is the unadulterated truth.
There's just no getting around
that. You know what I say to Biden? He can take that and shove it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I mean, it's remarkable. This is why, folks, this is why we decided to do a special report on Cuba, Cuba on the Brink, for tonight's show, because there is so much about it, so much about Cuba that is not getting out, that people don't understand, and the mainstream media refuses to cover.
Right. Right. And by the way, in my article on Personal Glimpse into Castro's Hell, I have some pictures that are not well known to back up everything I write in there.
It's worth getting the link, and please do share it, folks. Cuba's Fight for Freedom, that's the title of Diane's op-ed today. It's in her blog. It's on the RSP website. Either place you go, get the link, share it everywhere. Now, we've come here to just about the top of the hour, and we got one segment left on the show in our special report, Cuba on the Brink. Suffice it to say, and Diane alluded to this in her article, suffice it to say, today's liberals in our Congress, okay, are very much on the same page as the Cuban communist regime. And they're helping to spread the Cuban communist propaganda. So I have taken my article on from that standpoint. Okay. I've taken a handful of their actual quotes over the past week to 10 days and compiled them, and I will tell you exactly what they're getting at with these quotes and why it's so tyrannical what they're supporting. So, folks, if you stay with us, we do have one more segment on the show tonight, special report, Cuba on the Brink. I'll be talking about 90 miles from freedom. We've got more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the Internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. No, got a Diane on the Patriot Factor. You had a pop-up spring out of nowhere on you right at the end of that segment.
Yeah, Hannity. The Hannity Show just came across my screen.
Folks, I'm telling you, everybody wants to be a guest on Right Side Patriots, even Sean Hannity.
Yeah, but if it was Sean Hannity, you wouldn't get in a word edgewise.
Tell Sean to settle down, and we'll have him on the show sometime else.
Oh, okay.
And just call him back and say, Sean, look, we appreciated you butting into the show tonight, but... Oh, folks, look, this is live radio. What are you going to do?
True.
You know? But I had to bring it up because I think I went into the break after you said, oh, God, and I don't know that anybody heard the word pop-up.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably people out there going,
oh. What can we say? Things happen.
Diane's okay. It wasn't anything horrible.
No.
It was just Sean Hannity. Seems like a pretty decent guy. So, you know. There you go. All right, so let's conclude tonight's show. Let's wrap up the show with the final segment tonight. 90 miles from freedom. The difference between Marxism and communism is so slight it hardly bears dividing, but there is a difference. And because of today's political climate on the left side of our nation's aisle, you need to know what it is. Marxism is an economic and social theory, while communism is the application of what that theory is in real time. Marxism directly leads to communism, and just like socialism or Marxism is doomed to utter failure, every time and every place it has ever been tried, so too is communism doomed to eventually collapse. In our nation, liberal Marxists want to and are working at a fever pitch to advance the theory of Marxism, and they're using the mainstream media, professional sports, the entertainment industry, and our nation's K-12 schools, colleges, and universities to promote the propaganda and theory as quickly and as widely as possible. Cuba is a communist nation. And what we are witnessing today is what eventually happens in every such nation. The people are desperate for freedom. And the government, in this case, a communist regime, is hell-bent on continuing to hold their people hostage. Right now, it's very difficult to get actual news from Cuba because the communist regime there has shut down the internet, shut down the ability for their own citizens to communicate with the outside world, and they are brutally cracking down on those of their own citizens who dare to speak up and speak out against the regime. Sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't it? I mean, Diane, in our country, the Biden administration is now openly engaged in censoring what we can post to social media, and they are about to embark on a program by which they can censor what we text to one another. For the moment, and only for the moment, the liberal Marxists in this country are using their anti-freedom tactics to silence any talk regarding COVID-19 that they don't like, but be assured, and be not mistaken, the silencing of Americans will spread to other things that the liberal Marxists don't want anyone to know about.
Yeah, that's very true. They don't want you to know the truth about what's going on, because if we really knew the truth, people might start to get mad and demand action be taken. But you know, with the administration we have now, the Cuban people aren't going to get any help. And also, the Cuban people aren't going to get any help when you have certain organizations here in this country vile, sick organizations in this country actually siding with the communists.
Well, a prime example of that is last week, the BLM, Black Lives Matter, which a year ago openly admitted to being a Marxist organization, came out and said, and I quote, "We are feeling many things as we awaken to a world without Fidel Castro. There is an overwhelming sense of loss, complicated by fear and anxiety. Although no leader is without their flaws, we must push back against the rhetoric of the right and come to the defense of El Comandante," unquote. But they weren't done there. Their statement went on to say, and I quote again, "As Fidel ascends to the realm of the ancestors, we summon his guidance, strength, and power as we recommit ourselves to the struggle for universal freedom. Fidel vive," unquote. They aren't even trying to hide the fact that they support the communist regime in Cuba, as they use the communist propaganda talking points to claim that the communist regime in Cuba is a model of universal freedom, which it transparently is not. This is the abject crap that today's liberal Marxists are using in their indoctrination of our young people from kindergarten through college. They are indoctrinating them to believe that communism is the form of government and society to which we should all aspire. We now have young people coming out of high school and out of colleges and universities who truly believe that communism is all magical unicorn farts and pixie dust, fields of golden roses, and the utopia we should have in this country. At the same time, they're also being indoctrinated to believe that the freedoms and the opportunities citizens of our country are afforded are evil, racist, and beneath contempt. For 60 years, the U.S. has held embargoes against Cuba since the communist regime of Fidel Castro took over that country. Last week, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blamed those embargoes for what's happening in Cuba by tweeting, quote, "We stand in solidarity with the Cuban people and condemn the suppression of the media, speech, and protest. We also call for an end to the U.S. embargo and additional Trump-era restrictions that are profoundly contributing to the suffering of Cubans," unquote. Diane, I think that's pretty rich, isn't it? I mean, at the exact same time she was issuing her absurd tweet, Jen Psaki was admitting that the U.S. government, from the White House, is now engaged in censoring the American public, in essence, the suppression of media, speech, and protest she claims to be against in Cuba. And she claims that it's Trump and American embargoes that has led to the suffering of the Cuban people.
Well, to put it bluntly, that's an out-and-out lie. Okay, and nothing we do here has contributed to the suffering. Castro alone caused this. He lied to the people when he rose to power. He never told the people, at least in the beginning, that he was a communist. He caused all of this. He took a once beautiful country, the jewel of the Caribbean, and turned it into a third world shithole, as they say.
Yep.
The fault lies with him, plain and simple.
Well, look, communist regimes all have one very important thing in common, and the regime in Cuba is no exception to that rule. Any aid sent to their countries to assist the people for humanitarian purposes is stolen from the people by the regime, and the people get nothing.
True.
It used to be that Cuba depended on the Soviet Union for cash subsidies, but when the Soviet Union collapsed, that cash gravy train came to an end. After that, Cuba turned to their wealthy socialist friends in Venezuela for cash and fuel supplies, but now Venezuela is going the way of all socialist and communist nations, and the collapse there means no more funding for Cuba. Don't be fooled. None of that funding from either the Soviet Union or Venezuela ever made it to the people. All it did was keep the Cuban communist regime afloat. We could be flooding the communist regime in Cuba with wealth, but we know, and perhaps more importantly, the people of Cuba know, that not one red cent of what we might send would get to the people, but the regime itself would simply grow richer. Trust me on this. The liberal Marxists in this country know this fact full well, which is exactly why they want to send aid to Cuba, in order to make the Cuban communist regime wealthier and more powerful. Bernie Sanders, a liberal Marxist with a long history of supporting the communist regime of Cuba, also made an absurd comment last week. He said, quote, "All people have the right to protest and to live in a democratic society. I call on the Cuban government to respect opposition rights and refrain from violence." What a load of manure. The people of Cuba have no rights, and Sanders is well aware of that fact. He doesn't believe in the right to protest against a communist regime, to protest against Marxist theory, or to protest against any form of government that suppresses its people. The only protests Sanders is against are those that support freedom, support open and fair elections, or support American exceptionalism. If Bernie Sanders truly believed that all people have the right to protest, he would have been a champion of the protesters who entered our nation's capital on January 6th, and he would have absolutely been against the so-called protesters who, for the better part of an entire year, burned cities and businesses to the ground while promoting Marxism. Diane, here's a note, too, that Sanders calls for the communist regime in Cuba to, quote-unquote, refrain from violence. But has he said one single word against the murder of Ashley Babbitt in the Capitol on January 6th at the hands of one of our government's agents who is, as yet, unnamed?
Well, let's put it this way. You have to take this whole situation and look at it from the eyes of this administration. They don't want to help. They will not help. They might say pretty words. Oh, we feel sorry for the people of Cuba. They have a right to protest this and that. Talk is cheap. We all know that. And all they're doing is talking. If the Biden administration really meant any of the words they said, we'd be sending not only arms for the Cuban people, but we'd be sending food and medicine and everything else that these people need. We're sure not going to give them arms because, remember, the first thing Castro did was take away the people's arms.
Well, that has a familiar ring to it, too. Yeah, that has a familiar ring to it, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Look, Biden came out last week and he said, and I quote, "Cuba is unfortunately a failed state and repressing their citizens. There are a number of things that we would consider doing to help the people of Cuba, but it would require a different circumstance or a guarantee that they would not be taken advantage of by the government." Biden went on to say, "Communism is a failed system, a universally failed system," unquote. That's nothing but lip service. And how do I know that's nothing but lip service? Well, because his own White House is now in the business of suppressing our people regarding COVID, and as I said before, it won't end there. What Biden is trying to do is desperately appeal to voters in Florida by claiming to be for the people of Cuba, but they know full well it's nothing but a talking point, and that nothing will be done to support the ouster of the communist regime in Cuba. And why is that? Well, the root of it might reach a bit deeper than some folks think. The Biden administration has no plan and no desire to end the communist regime in Cuba because today's liberal Marxists have been completely invested in Cuba as a model for a future America, a fundamentally transformed America, if you will. The Biden administration will do nothing to assist the people of Cuba in gaining their freedom and ending communism just 90 miles off the shores of our country because That would go directly against the liberal Marxist agenda and political ideology in this country. Ending communism in Cuba would mean the end of the liberal Marxist dream for what they want America to become. Furthermore, it was Barack Hussein Obama who vowed to fundamentally transform America back in 2008, and the Biden administration is nothing but a puppet of the Obama regime, which, by the way, is running the show in our country today. And as long as that's the case, Biden and his liberal Marxist ilk will not lift a finger to help the good people of Cuba or end communism in Cuba. As the people of Cuba engage in a fight for freedom and an end to tyranny, as they take to the streets, risking their lives to wave American flags just 90 miles from freedom, in our country, liberal Marxists condemn Americans for their patriotism, take a knee for the national anthem, and burn our American flags in an effort to move as rapidly from a nation of liberty and a government of, by, and for the people toward abject repression, censorship, and tyranny as possible, which is also but 90 miles away. While the Biden administration, the Obama regime's puppet, throws open the border to illegal aliens, he is also slamming the door on true political refugees from Cuba. Because while those illegals from south of the border come here with their hands out, refugees from Cuba come here with their hopes up. Here's the bottom line. The world would be a whole lot better off with one less communist regime in it. Two, if we could get rid of the Obama regime as well.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Obama was not happy with two terms in office. He couldn't finish his destruction of America, the fundamental change of America. So now he's in there with his third de facto term in office. And he's doing his damnedest to destroy this country and make us like Cuba. And we sit back for the most part and watch it happen.
It's sick.
Well, it's totally sick. It's frustrating. It makes me angry. It makes me fume because this is not the country that I grew up in. This was not the America I knew. This is
not
a new America now, and it's the antithesis of everything we're supposed to be. And I think one of the key reasons everybody still insists on calling us a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, a representative republic.
There's a difference.
And I think if we could get that through some people's minds,
maybe we
could take a little baby step towards, you know, freedom.
Look, you're never going to get that through people's minds until you can change the school system, and that can only be done from the inside. They're not teaching civics anymore. They're teaching social engineering. Okay.
Wokeism, and critical race theory and all this BS.
Right. It's no longer what our school system was meant to be. They don't care if you learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. They just care if you're woke and you buy into this critical race theory and gender theory and all this other stuff, which, by the way, folks, is Marxist theory. Don't ever think it's
exactly
not. It is. But when you look at what's going on right now with Cuba, okay, and you take this business of throwing open our southern border and allowing the illegal aliens in while slamming the door on true, honest-to-God political refugees from Cuba, okay, if you think this is Biden calling the shots, think again, folks. This is directly Obama's policy. This was Obama's policy when he was in office. Right now, Joe Biden can't even figure out which end of the spoon to use to eat his 4 o'clock pudding.
I was thinking that.
Okay. His mind is, you know, it's holier than Swiss cheese. All right. The guy is nuttier than a squirrel turd at this point. These are not his policies. He can't formulate a policy. These are Obama's policies, and he's the puppet.
Yes. And he's not even a good puppet, because what Obama is doing, while Biden is, you know, in la-la land somewhere, he is working with Kamala Harris.
Right.
And folks, as bad as Biden is, Biden isn't going to be president much longer. They're going to find a way to 25th Amendment him out. Imagine Kamala Harris as president.
And look, she's no rocket scientist, I'll tell you that. You know,
She's a dangerous woman.
Well, she's dangerous. She is dangerous, and she's dangerous because she'll dance like a marionette.
Exactly.
You know, Obama's going to be behind the curtain pulling the strings, and she's going to be doing her little communist jig out there. I mean, right. You know, make no mistake about it. Obama's in charge. Okay, I know you hear, you go to Fox News and you'll hear people say, well, you know, really, Kamala Harris is in charge. No, she's not.
No, she's not. She Obama. Doesn't have the intelligence.
Right. Obama's in charge.
In charge.
You know, I've got burned out light bulbs in my chandelier in the dining room that are brighter than Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
I mean, I'm just saying. But this situation in Cuba, you know, with proper U.S. policy towards Cuba, we could put an end to this nonsense in a matter of a couple of weeks. I mean, I truly believe that. But not with Biden, not with the puppet of the Obama regime, because Obama doesn't want to support the people of Cuba. He wants to support the Cuban government because he wants that form of government here.
And he wants to keep the Cuban people in Cuba. He doesn't want people that are anti-socialism, anti-communism coming into this country, because that is exactly what his administration is trying to put into effect here.
It would fly.
His worst nightmare would be the Cubans, because most of them, not all, but most of them would stay in the South Florida area. That would change the whole demographics of Dade County and would turn the state solidly Republican. Not leaning Republican, but solidly Republican.
You know, having more Cubans in America is an anathema. And you know, you use that term in your op-ed. But it's true. It's an anathema to the liberal Marxist agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the antithesis of everything they want. Imagine the color wheel, folks. One end you have red, the other end you have blue, totally split apart. That's the way Biden wants to keep it. He doesn't want the red, meaning Republicans, invading the blue equal the Democrats.
Exactly.
Because it won't work out well for the blue.
Folks, you can get this commentary two places, thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, grab the link, share it as widely as you can. And if you've missed any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. Click the podcast button, become one of the pod people, and then you can listen to the show and share that link with other people. You can hear not only what we had to say in the commentaries, but also the discussions that we have after those commentary segments. So
Right. It's
very important that you get these links out, not just the article links, but also the podcast links. I join with Diane in wishing the very best to the people of Cuba in their fight for freedom. That is, by the way, the title of Diane's op-ed today, Cuba's Fight for Freedom, because they're only 90 miles from freedom, and that's the title of my commentary tonight,
right.
90 miles from freedom. You know, what's happened there over the past 60 years is disgusting, inhuman, and inhumane. Okay, but yes. It's typical of any communist regime. It's typical of any communist government. This is what happens. It's time for that to end. A place like Cuba, once, I think, Diane, you called it a shining jewel, it could be that again.
It was the jewel of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and it could be again. You know, now, kind of tongue-in-cheek-wise, this situation in Cuba, this isn't new. This didn't just pop up a week and a half ago or a week ago. Okay, Cuba's been an absolute mess, an absolute crap hole, for the better part of 60 years. Now, with that in mind, I can remember a couple of decades ago, literally, every Saturday I used to get together with a bunch of my buddies, and we'd have Saturday morning breakfast. Okay, we go out and have breakfast. And we were sitting there one day, and this, of course, when Fidel Castro was still around, and there was something that was going on in Cuba, and my friend Neil brought it up, and I said, I've got the solution for Cuba. I can solve that in a heartbeat. And he said, really? What is it? And I said, let Disney buy Cuba. They can turn it into commie land. They can have a monorail that goes all the way around the island, and part of it will be communist Cuba, part of it will be communist China, part of it will be communist Russia, so on and so forth. And every place you go, you get the food, the sights, the sounds, the music, the look, the feel of those communist nations, and then you bring people back over here, you know, not only will they see all of that and hear all of that, but they will also see the rot, the infestation, the god-awfulness of what communism is. Then you bring people back to this country after their little vacation in commie land, and they'll have a whole different appreciation for the United States. I told Neil and Kirk that 2 decades ago.
I have a better idea. Round up AOC, Bernie Sanders, Biden, Kamala, the whole crew. Round up all of them that think socialism / communism is great. Ship them the hell out of here and bring the Cuban people here instead. Send them there, bring the Cuban people here. I think it's a better trade-off.
I'm not sure that's a fair trade. I think we're getting the better end of the deal by far.
That's what I mean.
You know? Bernie Sanders, that Jabba the Hutt guy, Michael Moore, that filmmaker guy, yeah. Right? They ballyhoo Cuba's healthcare system. Oh, that's the kind of system we should have here. Folks, you need to understand something. When it comes to healthcare in Cuba, the Cuban people get nothing. If you happen to be visiting Cuba and you get sick, you'll be taken care of because they want you to go back to wherever you came from and say, well, yeah, they do a great job. If you happen to be a Cuban citizen, you get nothing. There's no medicine for you. There's no hospital beds for you. There's no surgery for you. You know, I mean, that's the truth of that socialist healthcare, communist healthcare system they have in Cuba that all these damn liberal Marxists in this country think is the model for us.
Right. It's really a hellhole. And, you know, the stories you hear about, there's no toilet paper, and people are saying that's not true. My sister-in-law a few years ago went back just for a couple of days. My husband would not be allowed in as the male and with the name, but she used, I believe it was her married name, so it wasn't quite the same. And she said it's even worse than what we hear. They have nothing.
They have nothing. And now they're fighting to regain life in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And we hope.
And you know what made them realize how bad it was? As bad as it sounds, it's the internet. Internet access showed them what the rest of the world looks like.
I would call on Elon Musk right now to park some of those internet satellites right over the top of Cuba and turn on the internet for the Cuban people free of charge.
Yeah.
I mean, Starlink.
Good thing.
Do it, Mr. Musk. Starlink for the Cubans right now.
Yeah.
Folks, that brings us
good thing.
That brings us to the end of the show, folks, and we appreciate you being here for this special report, Cuba on the Brink. Tonight, once again, if you missed any part of it, go to rspradio1.com. Tomorrow morning, podcast button, it'll be there for you. But with that, Diane, I think it's time you and I just kind of wrap this show up, huh?
I think so. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Friday with a one-hour talk show. Bye-bye.